I've got to be direct.
La la la.
If I'm off, please correct.
La la la.
You're standing on my neck.
La la la.
You're standing on my neck.
La la la.
You're standing on my neck.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Welcome to Sup Media Reviews, the podcast that never needs spoiler alerts because it takes you back in time to relive the nostalgia of classic TV shows and films that you've probably already seen. I'm your host, Kiara, and each week I'll dive into the archives to bring you my take on movies and TV shows from at least 20 years ago. From cult classics to forgotten gems, I'll review them all and give my honest opinion on their impact and whether or not they still hold up today. Join me as we revisit the iconic characters, memorable moments, and timeless themes that made these shows and films so special. So take a break from adulting and get ready for a trip down memory lane with Sup Media Reviews. What's up, Home Slices? Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Sup Media Reviews. I'm your host, Kiara, and it is March, Women's History Month. This month, we're reviewing and celebrating women-led movies and TV shows from different genres. At the beginning of the month, I reviewed Scream from 1996 with a special guest. Right after that, I reviewed the 1998 film The Parent Trap. And last week, a special guest and I reviewed Waiting to Exhale from 1995. Now, all of these episodes are available everywhere you listen to podcasts, so be sure to check them out. This week, in our final episode of the Women's History Month series, I am stoked to review the animated MTV show Daria, which was on air from 1997 to 2002. Now, Daria features characters like Daria Morgendorfer, Quinn Morgendorfer, Trent Lane, Jane Lane, and Jody Abigail Landon. Now, while I can't say that I've had a lot of experience with Daria, I really wanted to find a woman-led animated series that was at least 20 years old, which is obviously the baseline for this podcast. And it was literally one of the only ones that I kind of recognized and knew about, okay? This is already problematic that we don't really have any 20 plus year old women-led shows that lasted a long time. And like a few of them, like Pepper Ann, you all know Pepper Ann, or Angela Anaconda, which I actually really liked. But this particular type of show is animated, but it's not for children. And so I think we got to do better, y'all, to have more representation, even in animated series. I mean, like, come on. Anyways, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this review, here are a few fun facts. Now, Daria often describes her perceived cynicism as an unabashed honesty. Appropriately, the name Daria is Greek and means upholder of truth. So she has the right name for her characteristics. The second fun fact is that the character Daria was conceived as a dry-witted comic foil to counter Beavis and Butthead's stupidity on Beavis and Butthead from 1993. Daria does not appear in the 2011 Beavis and Butthead revival. However, it is mentioned and acknowledged that she moved away. I don't know that I actually recall this fact. I never really watched Beavis and Butthead. So the fact that Daria is a spinoff of that and that people love it a lot, I don't know if they love it as much as Beavis and Butthead, but they both were kind of a little bit revolutionary, if I understand this correctly. So it's kind of cool that we have these two kind of different things that happen in parallel with each other. It's kind of neat. The last episode of the show's half-hour series, the fifth season's Boxing Daria from 2001, which we'll talk about later, was written to close out the show. After the creators were offered by MTV an option for another half season, which would have been about 6 to 7 episodes, fans begged for more. So co-creator Glenn Eichler decided instead to make a 90-minute TV movie called Daria, Is It College Yet? In 2002, which is the official finale. So even after the show ended, after 5 seasons, fans were like, no, like, to give us more. And so they were like, hey, here's a movie. Okay. I have not seen that movie, but I might check it out. Now, in the final fun fact, you all, I was doing some research for the show and I found out that there was supposed to be an MTV series spinoff called Jody that was supposed to revolve around Jody Landon, Daria's Black female classmate. Now, the Black people that I have heard talk about Daria and how much they love it really admire Jody. And at first, and even now a little bit, I was very curious as to why. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But people enjoyed her character so much that they're like, hey, let's do a spinoff, right? And so Jody in this series would be voiced by Tracy Ellis Ross. Now, unfortunately, there were some issues with getting this spinoff off the ground, and after multiple changes, it was reworked into a film. Just a few weeks ago, it was revealed that the movie is being shopped around to other networks. So hopefully, for the Daria fans, especially the ones who really enjoyed Jodi, we'll get a cool continuation of the Daria universe through the eyes of a beloved character. So let's cross our fingers and hope that that is coming to life somewhere, okay? So if you want to check out Daria, you can watch it on Paramount Plus as of the recording of this episode. Now, this is the point in the story where we talk about my personal connection. And because I haven't seen very many episodes, there really isn't one. Prior to watching this show or these episodes for this review, I had only watched a few episodes out of curiosity, right? I had heard about it. People seemed to really love it. I recognized that she had like a very dry humor in which I enjoy. So I only watched a few episodes here and there, and I don't know that I was fully paying attention. But I do feel like this show is a fave for a lot of older millennials, and people love her sarcasm and her cynicism. I like that it's an adult animated series with a girl as a main character. And when I was doing research, again, I mentioned this earlier, for an animated series with a female lead that was old enough for me to review, there weren't a whole bunch of options. So I'm excited to check out the show for myself, because not only does it sound like it's right up my alley, it sounds like it was one of a few of its kind. And so it kind of makes Daria a unicorn, right? So I also want to point out that this show appears to have treated diversity a little bit different from other cartoons. And because of it, I feel like, at least anecdotally, that may explain why a lot of Black fans of this show feel a special closeness and appreciation for Jodi Landon, whose depiction in this show is not stereotypical like they did Vince from Recess, okay? If you all remember, Vince was the Black kid of the friend group in Recess, and his only personality trait was sports. So to see that Jodi and even her boyfriend, who was nicknamed Mac in this show, they are not the typical Black people who show up in some of these shows. So there is some respect and a different perspective that is offered for these characters. So I actually really like that about this show. And it's another thing that kind of makes Daria a unicorn as well. So I'm super excited to dive into Daria. First, we'll do a quick overview of the show and the main characters, and then we'll do a deep dive into two of the more highly rated episodes. Daria, her sister Quinn, her workaholic mother Helen, and her high-strung father Jake move to a new town at the beginning of the series, and we're along for the ride as this family becomes accustomed to their new environment. We mainly focus on Daria, who is a new attendee of Lawndale High School, along with a colorful cast of characters. Here's a quick breakdown of the most important ones. Let's talk about Daria Morgendorfer, who is voiced by Tracy Grant Stabbed. She's the highly intelligent protagonist of the show. Originally a supporting character in Beavis and Butthead before getting her own series, she's the eldest child in the Morgendorfer family and is a disaffected, misanthropic student of Lawndale High. Daria is naturally an antisocial person, and her best-known characteristic is her deadpan sarcasm. She prefers to engage in intellectual and philosophical interests that she shares with her similar best friend, Jane Lane. She's often compared to her younger, more attractive, and popular sister, Quinn, and their relationship can be a little bit adversarial at times because of it. Now, throughout the series, we get to see Daria grow a little bit, struggle to develop relationships as an antisocial person, and confront the daily challenges of being too smart for her peers. I love that she gets her family to do silly things for her amusement. That is like one of my favorite traits about her specifically. Now, next up, we have Quinn Morgendorfer, who is voiced by Wendy Hoops. She is Daria's younger sister and the youngest in the family. Unlike Daria, Quinn values popularity and her appearance. To avoid being associated with Daria or anything nerdy, she claims that she's an only child and denies the fact that she and Daria are related. Quinn is shallow and materialistic and really couldn't be more different from Daria. And while she could be described as an airhead and she gives little regard to academic pursuits, my favorite thing about Quinn is that she is masterful at manipulating the guys who want to date her. And there are many. It's literally one of my favorite things about her character. Eventually, Daria and Quinn's relationship improves and it evolves. And we actually talk about that later in some of the episodes that I review. Now, next up, we have Jake Morgendorfer, who is voiced by Julian Rebolledo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he's the father of Daria and Quinn and the husband to Helen. He's a sales/marketing consultant whose traumatic childhood with an abusive father has resulted in a neurotic personality that ranges from engaging in nonsensical whimsy to angry tirades. Jake loves his family dearly and he tries to remain cheerful, but he can also come across as irritable, conflict avoidant, or accountability avoidant. Now, there's more to Jake's story than I can get into right now, but his character is actually quite deep and can depict some of the detrimental mental health aspects of being raised on toxic masculinity principles. So let's get into that, okay? Next up, we have Helen Morgendorfer, who is also voiced by Wendy Hoops. She is the mother to Daria and Quinn and the wife to Jake. She's a very busy lawyer and, crazily enough, pretty involved parent, considering. She has a type A personality, and it makes her really driven to succeed and be the best at everything. She can be short-tempered due to her busy schedule and stress, and can sometimes neglect her family as a result. She offers advice to her daughters and tries to bond with them when she can. And she teaches this line between being resentful about needing to work so hard and feeling guilty that she actually enjoys all of that hard work. Next up, we have Jane Lane, who is also voiced by Wendy Hoops. This is the third character that's voiced by her. She's Daria's best friend and classmate at Lawndale High. Now, like Daria, Jane is cynical, smart, and sarcastic, although she's more open-minded and well-adjusted than Daria is. She serves as a more outgoing and likable counterpart and foil to Daria's closed-off, combative worldview. Though she can also be sarcastic, she truly does care about Daria and does treasure their friendship. Now, every once in a while, we see Jane's older brother, Trent, who is voiced by Alvaro J. Gonzalez, who joins in for some of their shenanigans, and he engages with them quite a bit. Daria had a crush on Trent for a little bit, but eventually Trent is just like an older brother figure to both the girls. Now, next up, we have Jodie Landon, who is voiced by Jessica Sydney Jackson. She's a very intelligent girl who has a bright future and is one of the few Black students at Lawndale High. Now, despite her popularity, she is rather lonely and tries to maintain relationships with outsiders. She's one of the few kids outside of Jane who gets Daria's humor and is in turn equally sarcastic when she doesn't feel the need to restrain herself. She's seen as being really mature for her age and an advice giver to her classmates. She has high standards for herself and a massive heart for her community. She can alternate between feeling grateful and bitter towards her role as the Queen of the Negroes. Jodie actually refers to herself as the Queen of the Negroes as she is explaining in one of the episodes about what it means to be like the token or tokenized Black girl in the school. That particular episode, she does a monologue about what it means to have that weight of that responsibility on herself. And that is something that I can really identify with. Now, there are other recurring characters in the show, including Brittany Taylor, the popular cheerleader, or Kevin Thompson, the popular jock who dates Brittany Taylor on and off. We also have Mac McKenzie, the Black football player who is Jodie's boyfriend. We have Mr. DiMartino, who is a teacher who always appears to be on the verge of a breakdown. We have the paranoid Principal Lee. We have the kind of crazy, I don't know how to describe this teacher. His name is Mr. O'Neill. He actually pops up in some of the episodes that we'll be talking about today. He's a little neurotic as well and quite sensitive. So there's many others. There's teachers, there's students, there's adults, there's brothers and sisters. There's a bunch of characters here that we see over and over again. But the idea is that we already reviewed all of the most important characters, the ones that we see throughout the story and we need to know the most about. But overall, I just kind of want to point out the hyperbole, right? Like, when it comes to the other characters, a lot of them are super hyperbolic. And I feel like Jodie and Mac escape that hyperbole, whereas even Daria's parents and the teachers and other students are super hyperbolic, and it increases the ridiculousness of who they are, which even amplifies how smart Daria is to navigate a world that is so ridiculous. That is something that really stands out to me about this show. But in Daria, we get the adventures of this intelligent, sarcastic, and pessimistic girl who tells a very specific and angsty story of the late 90s and early 2000s. So let's dive into a few episodes. The first episode we're going to talk about is from season 1, episode 13, which is called Misery Chick. I picked this episode as it showed up on two lists of the top episodes of the series, and this episode is also highly rated on IMDb. Now, in this episode, we get to see Daria actually care about the way people perceive her, which is actually a little bit different for her because she kind of routinely doesn't care what people think and doesn't put much energy into changing herself to create a better self-image. Now, the episode opens with Jake and Kate admiring Quinn's school picture and comparing it to the smileless photo from Daria, who thinks people shouldn't be judged by their expressions. Daria is kind of the queen of RBF, which is resting bee face, and she has it pretty bad. But I agree, we really shouldn't be judging people based on their expressions. Some people just have like a scrunched up mad face, y'all. So don't tell women to smile, okay? Just don't do that. We flip over to Kevin and Mac, who are at school discussing the return of a student, Tommy Sherman, who is the quarterback that led their school to the state state championship 3 years ago. Now, this scene is super quick, but we get a lot of context that we need to make the story make sense. First, Kevin calls Mac Daddy, and Mac is like, don't do that. And I'm like, oh, this is actually really great. Because it points out the kind of racist ways in which Black people can be characterized by their peers. Now, nowadays, we have that term microaggressions, which if it existed back in 1997 when this particular episode came out, it's crazy. And like, we didn't know about it, but we know about it now. So I'm sorry, Mac. Anyways, we also learned that Kevin idolizes this particular quarterback, Tommy, and that Jody is doing a speech on the new goalpost that is being dedicated in Tommy's honor, which is strange, right? But next we see Jane giving Daria the deets on why Tommy is a big deal to the school and why they're naming a goalpost after Tommy. It's not super important, but Tommy routinely wanted to run the ball and do a touchdown himself into the goalpost instead of relying on his teammates. And so when he scored a touchdown, he was so preoccupied with waving to the fans and stuff that he would always run into the goalpost. And it's really stupid. And he injured himself quite a few times, but he still led the team to a team championship. So he's really a school hero. So Jody walks up while Jane and Daria are talking, and she asks Daria for help with the speech where she's going to dedicate the goalpost to Tommy. And Jody really doesn't have anything for this speech. Jody is like, I'm only kissing the butt of some jock, as she put it, because she's on the student council. So she already has a lot of responsibility and is being roped into things that she doesn't necessarily want to do just because it's kind of her duty. And so she gets really testy because both Jane and Daria aren't really giving her satisfactory answers or giving her real advice. They're just kind of poking fun and being sarcastic and stuff. And so when Mac comes up to them, she's like, leave me alone, you know, especially because Jane and Daria weren't helpful. But she is experiencing quite a bit of pressure to do something that kind of in her mind doesn't make sense. So in some ways, she's on the same page with Jane and Daria, as like, we're honoring somebody who was so selfish that they didn't rely on the team to score their own touchdowns. And we're only honoring them with the goalposts and not like putting his name on the stadium. Like, Jody feels similarly to them, but because she's on the student council, she can't really show it. So this could be some deeper context on this idea that because of the pressure that Jody faces as the quote unquote queen of the Negroes, that she routinely has to show up in ways that feel dishonest. I'm just now reading into that myself, but that's a word. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Now, next up, we see Tommy Sherman, the quarterback in question, hitting on the ditzy high school cheerleader, Brittany Taylor, who is dating Kevin, the current quarterback of the team. Now, I forgot that this cartoon was made for adults for a second, because he says some gross things to her that include, like, let's get some alcoholic beverages, let's go back to my hotel, let's get horizontal, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, like, I clutched my pearls a little bit because I kind of didn't. I wasn't expecting that. I just wasn't. Again, I don't have a big frame of reference for the show, but because he was at the school 3 years ago, he's probably 20 to 21 years old. If he can purchase alcohol, so he's probably 21, and he's hitting on probably a junior, so maybe a 17 or 18 year old. It's kind of gross. We might give him a pass because we don't know how old Brittany is supposed to be right now. So Brittany ends up turning Tommy down, saying like, my boyfriend idolizes you, I'm not interested or whatever. And so Tommy is like, well, does that mean that Kevin wants to watch? And I'm like, what is happening? I kind of didn't remember that this was a cartoon made for adults just in this moment. But anyway, she slaps him and walks away. And I'm glad to see that Brittany has some morals and some standards. Okay. But as Brittany leaves, Tommy asks if someone flashed the bimbo signal. And I was like, oh, that's rude. And so Daria kind of witnessed this, right? She witnesses Tommy's abhorrent behavior and him hitting on her and calling her a bimbo after she rejects him. So next up, Tommy meets Kevin and Mac in the hallway. And Tommy is really rude to Kevin, saying things like he can't believe that he's the quarterback of the team and Kevin's not going to make it in football, or that if he does, he's going to be some second string community college or junior college or something along those lines. And just saying that he's basically not good enough, right? We're seeing that Kevin's idol really isn't a good guy, but because of the way Kevin sees Tommy and the fact that he's like a little less intelligent, he doesn't really pick up on or acknowledge that he's being insulted. Mac gets it and is less accommodating, and it appears that he, in a lot of ways, when it comes to interacting with Kevin, is more so the voice of what all of us viewers are thinking. He is there to kind of be our voice in the moment. I don't know how to better describe that. But next up, Daria and James see Tommy, you know, posted up against their lockers, and they engage in this weird dialogue. Daria says something to the effect of like, excuse me, because she wants him to kind of get out of her way. And he's like, you expect me to talk to you? And Daria just wants him to move so she can access her locker. But Tommy feels that Daria isn't even attractive enough to acknowledge him, right? He's like, don't talk to me, you unattractive girl. Daria tells him off about being a jerk and how his recent honor is like undeserved. And Tommy is like, I'm going to go read my plaque where people are honoring me and my accomplishments, because I don't have time for misery chicks like Daria who harp on about how cruel the world is, so everyone doesn't realize that she's a loser. So when Tommy leaves them, Jane and Daria kind of joke about how long he'll be alive. Like, Daria's like, I can't believe for the rest of this life they're going to honor this person that isn't even really a good person. And so Jane says something to the effect of like, well, he may not even live that long. And immediately there's a crash that we hear off screen, and the new goalpost that was being honored in his name has actually fallen on Tommy, and he passes away. So in the next scene, we're in a school assembly where Principal Lee is giving a speech in memoriam of Tommy Sherman. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. Kevin is crying loudly because his idol is dead, and the principal asks someone to escort him out so that they can all sing One Sweet Day, which is hilarious. That is so funny to me that they would sing One Sweet Day in this assembly. That is so funny, y'all. And if you don't know what they're referring to, One Sweet Day is a song that Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men partnered on. That is about losing people or grieving people, and about, you all should know that song. And I know you're shining down on me from heaven, like so many friends we've lost along the way. And I know eventually we'll be together, One Sweet Day. Y'all, that's, I feel like it was at the top of the list of the best songs of the 90s, if I'm not tripping. But anyways, it's freaking hilarious that they referenced it inside the show. That was so funny to me. Now, afterwards, Daria's in the hallway with Jane for a little bit, and then they split off. And so Kevin approaches her to share his feelings about Tommy's death and asks for words of wisdom. He figures that because she thinks about depressing stuff all the time, that she would have some advice for him. So when Daria asks if Kevin can draw any similarities between himself and Tommy that could explain why he's taking this loss so hard, Kevin, again, who is not a very intelligent character, thinks that she means that the football team will be cursed because of Tommy's freak accident. Don't know how he really drew that conclusion, but it's not what Daria meant. Brittany, the cheerleader, overhears Daria talking to Kevin, her boyfriend, and wants to chat with Daria next about the situation with Tommy. And Brittany, who was hit on by Tommy the very same day that he passed away, feels bad that she has negative feelings about a dead guy. So she wants some tips from Daria, who apparently is used to dwelling on depressive and, you know, negative things. Now, Daria wonders what everyone is talking about. Why are they assuming that she is always dwelling on negative things? Now, Daria talks Brittany through her issue a little bit, and they end up with this lesson. Feeling bad about not feeling worse is actually good. And I won't go into it, but it logically kind of makes sense when they break it down. Now, Daria even writes it down as Brittany walks away, and Brittany feels better after having this conversation with Daria. But next up, Daria is approached by Mr. O'Neill, one of the teachers, and he says that, you know, how are you dealing with everything? And Daria's like, I'm dealing with it. And he's like, I know, you're just so sensitive. And he's like, I would expect that someone like you who thinks about the dark side of life to be dealing with this loss really well. Once again, somebody else coming to her being like, hey, misery chick, you must be doing all right with this traumatic information. And so he ends up breaking down in tears, saying that he's not doing well. And Daria asks if he wants to talk. So later on, Daria is at home and she calls Jane on the phone, and they're talking about all these people that came up to Daria to ask for her advice on such a morose topic. And they talk about that she's kind of like the popular girl now that the school is dealing with the aftermath of Tommy's death. And she is seen somewhat as an expert on dealing with negative feelings. Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but after the assembly, Jane said that she wanted to go for a run. But when Daria offered to go walk with her, Jane said she just wanted to be alone. So at this point, I feel like Jane is having a hard time with Tommy's death because she's the one who brought up that he might not live long right before he died. So at this point, I'm like, she's probably experiencing some guilt, and Jane even briefly suggests that she should talk to Daria in her newfound misery chick capacity, but Daria writes it off, she ignores it, and she goes on to judge the impacted folks for grieving a jerk. So Jane tries to check her on this, and it's like, yeah, he was a jerk, but he also freaking died, right? But Daria ignores that too and asks if they can go out for pizza. Jane says that she's going out running and she'll be running a long time and probably can't go. But next, Quinn pops into her room to talk about Tommy too. So it's not just the people at school who view Daria in this capacity, even her own family does too, right? And so the next day, Quinn, Daria, and their mom, Helen, are having breakfast. And after chatting with Daria about, you know, the situation with Tommy, Quinn has decided to use her influence as the school's fashion club leader or whatever to take up a collection and get new safe goalposts installed, despite the fact that that's what killed Tommy in the first place. Now, when their mom asks Daria how she's doing, she actually comes across as quite upset and sarcastically resents her classification as the misery chick who dwells on the dark stuff and is like this unofficial authority on how to process these kind of feelings. So Daria heads to Jane's house, but at the door, Trent, Jane's older brother, answers the door. And so Trent is like, oh, she went running. And so she and Trent talk a little bit about Tommy because Trent actually was at the school the same time that Tommy was there. And Daria is actually relieved that Trent is not going to use her as a therapist. So Trent suggests, actually, you know, Jane might have come back already. So you should go check her room upstairs. Don't yell up to her. Go upstairs. And so I was like, something's a little off about this, right? So Daria goes into Jane's room after knocking and getting a response. And she's like, Jane, have you been avoiding me? And Jane is like, well, not anymore. Jane feels like Daria isn't really taking Tommy's death or people's reaction to it very seriously. And Daria is like, well, I'm sorry that Tommy died, but I'm not going to pretend that he is a good person or was a good person. And she's saying that the people who are talking to me about Tommy's death are actually more concerned with their own mortality than actually Tommy's passing. So Daria is upset that people actually label her as miserable. Now, Jane actually kind of connects the dots a little bit better about this, right? So she's like, people assume or people think the reason that Daria doesn't smile a lot is because she thinks a lot. So when people say that tragedy really makes them think, they refer to Daria, who is always thinking. And what they really want to know is how to cope with having to think about things until they don't have to think anymore and can smile again and can return to their normal kind of resting state where things are okay. And so Daria understands that. And Jane's explanation is actually pretty good. So Daria wants to know why Jane has been avoiding her. And Jane says that she feels guilty that she joked about Tommy dying immediately before he died and that she doesn't want that, you know, responsibility. And in that moment, Daria assures Jane that she isn't the one who killed Tommy. And then Jane assures Daria that she is not the misery chick. And so we also figure out that Trent orchestrated this moment between Jane and Daria. He's a good big brother and he figured out that they kind of needed each other in that moment. So that's sweet. Trent is about 5 years older than the girl, so he is early 20s, so he's got it figured out. He knows some stuff. So the next day, they are in Mr. O'Neill's class discussing the Tennyson quote, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. Daria gets called on in the class and she explains her view of the quote and infusing it with her current title as misery chick. All in all, she's saying that Tennyson isn't classified as a misery loving freak just because he understands joy and pain. And that if you love a lot, there's also an associated loss with that. And it doesn't mean that they are super focusing on like the negative. And so later on, Jane and Daria are walking in the school hallway when they get approached by Quinn's friend, who addresses Daria as Quinn's cousin because Quinn basically refuses to call Daria her sister. It's quite hilarious. But this girl wants Daria to solve her bummed out problem around her sick cat. And so Daria is like, okay, give me $10 in advance for my advice. And when she gets the money, she's like, well, the cure to your problem is to find some other way to feel. Like, don't feel sad about this. Find some other way to feel. And when the girl gets mad that she paid $10 for the stupid piece of advice, Daria is like, look, it's already working. And so the girl kind of walks away seemingly satisfied. It's weird. It's a weird interaction. But now Daria has a new potential income stream for, you know, this perception of her as the misery chick. And so all in all, it feels like Daria knows who she is. And even though she felt challenged by this perception of her as the misery chick, she doesn't have to worry about that because she recognizes it as a misunderstanding and also a potential income stream. So that's the end of that particular episode. Like, I enjoyed it. And I found that Daria, who rarely cares about what people think about her, does actually care a little bit about people's perception of her. I also found that she could have been like a better friend to Jane and like picked up on more of those cues, because right away I knew something was off with Jane. And she also could have been a little more sympathetic with the students and even the teachers who are experiencing this loss and this tragedy, including the fact that some of these students had to have actually seen his dead body. Like, oh my gosh. Anyways, she is more emotionally mature than a lot of her peers. And she also has space for like holding two things to be true at once, right? Like, it's sad and unfortunate that he passed away, but he also was a jerk, and like these two things can't exist together, right? But there is still a part of Daria that could use some refining when it comes to understanding other people, being sympathetic, being empathetic, and not just judging people for being more impacted by traumatic news. Now, this is where Jane and Daria help each other. And I feel like that's really what the show is actually about, helping your friends to see or unsee something about themselves and in their situations. And these two girls are able to have a conversation with each other that's very mature, and to reassure each other that, like, no, it's not your fault that this person died. And no, you're not the misery chick. There's just something about you that makes people feel that you know more about something than they do, and that you're well adjusted at dealing with negative feelings, when really what they're saying is, you are deep in thought. And now that I am deep in thought, I need you to help me with this until I cannot be deep in thought anymore. It's actually quite mature of these girls, and I actually enjoyed the episode. It was really interesting. Now, let's move on to talking about this next episode. We are reviewing season 5, episode 13, which is entitled Boxing Daria, which is actually the final episode of this series, y'all. So I chose this episode because it is highly rated. It was also on both of those lists that I told you about before, with the top, you know, episodes of Daria. And so because of like my lack of familiarity with this show, I just had to roll with the opinions of the people who know and love the show. Okay, so I'm just taking my cues from people who know and love this show in particular. Okay, I'm just here for the ride and to share my first time perspective and experience. Okay, so this is actually, like I said, the final episode of the series, and we get to see some of Daria's kind of origin story as well as some of her growth. So yeah, it's actually quite satisfying. Let's get into it. The episode starts with a black screen and what sounds like a car accident. And we hear a man say, "Miss, are you all right?" We don't get really any context for that, because we immediately flip to the kitchen of Daria's house, where they are getting a new fridge delivered while Helen, the mom, is on the phone. Now, nothing important happens here. Daria makes a joke about food poisoning, blah, blah, blah. At school, Daria and Jane are talking. Now, look, I don't know a lot about this series, y'all, but in my research, a few things have happened in the four seasons since the period we talked about before. Like, the episode we talked about before was season 1. This is season 5, so it's 4 years later in real time. But as far as time in the show, like in the Daria universe, it's actually probably closer to like 2 or 2.5 years later, I think. Anyways, a lot of stuff has changed. Like I said, the main thing that's relevant for this particular episode is that Daria now has a boyfriend named Tom that was actually previously Jane's boyfriend. Now, there was a multi-episode kerfuffle about Jane and Tom's relationship and how it transitioned to Tom and Daria kissing and getting into their own relationship, and the kiss happened while Jane and Tom were still together. Personally, I could not still be friends with Daria if she did that to me, but their friendship in this particular episode has survived and thrived to the point where they're even okay discussing Tom's family vacation plans together. And I'm like, girl, WTF. Now, I know that we are supposed to assume that Daria and Jane are mature and they're beyond their years, but they're still in high school and there are middle-aged people still to this day who rightfully never reached this level of reconciliation after a betrayal of this level. Now, it feels very unrealistic to me. Now, again, because I haven't seen all the episodes, I don't have, you know, a lot of history on this particular, you know, storyline, and I haven't seen all those episodes, but I can't imagine the story being realistically told in a way that makes their friendship continue in this capacity given that type of rift. There are also a few other noticeable changes in the show, right? The animation has definitely upgraded from the first season, but the most annoying change to me is Jane's voice. Now, I've went and searched and tried to find out if there was a voice actor change for Jane, because her voice changed drastically from season 1 to this season 5 episode. but I couldn't find anything. Her voice sounds like one of those guys from the old days that would say, Yesiri, after everything. I'm never going back to jail, Yesiri. Like, there's something about her voice that sounds like that. You all are going to have to just listen to it and figure out what I'm talking about. It's very strange. Her voice was very nice and normal and had like a little rasp to it in the first season. So I don't know if there was a voice actor change or if something happened to the voice actor's voice and they had to adjust the way that they voiced this character. I don't know. But I don't like that the voice changed so drastically. Now, next up, the principal comes across the PA system to announce that they will be doing snack spot checks to manage the influx of unauthorized snacks in the school that seem to be undermining the trail mix fundraiser. It's hardly important. It's only mildly important to the story. So Jane leaves to go get an unauthorized snack, and Mr. O'Neill approaches Daria to ask her to do freshman tours for incoming students. So she turns him down, even though he's really adamant. And she's like, I can't tell these students that this school is great and give them a tour at this place without like just being truthful to them. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to turn you down. And Mr. O'Neill is like trying to be really adamant. And he's like, I promised myself that I was going to get you to do this. And Daria is like, well, you should practice being more callous. Tom and Daria later on are at Tom's very large house. He's actually quite rich, or his family is quite rich. They're watching TV together, and Daria dryly and sarcastically turns down his invitation to visit with him and his family while they're away, like at their vacation home for a family wedding. Now, I found her to be quite annoying in this moment. She just kept giving a ton of antisocial reasons as to why she didn't want to be there. Like, girl, just turn him down and hush, okay? We don't need a diatribe after everything, okay? Anyway, we find out that Tom is going to be gone for a week and they'll be without each other for that long. So back at the Morgendorfer house, the ladies are talking about the new fridge and how the delivery guys actually left the refrigerator box in the backyard. Daria kind of has this moment where a memory gets sparked for her upon seeing this box. Her mom doesn't really recall what Daria is referring to about her playing inside a refrigerator box, let alone Daria playing at all, really. So we kind of move on from that. We also find out that Jake, the dad, is away at a last minute conference. There was some type of last minute opening or availability, so he popped out, right? So when Quinn and Daria, you know, get asked to move the box to the curb so it could be taken out to the curb because their mom asked them to do it and she's like, was really adamant about it. Daria asks Quinn if she remembers a refrigerator box at all. Quinn, of course, is like more concerned with the fact that she has to do manual labor. So she's not really listening or internalizing what Daria is saying to her. Daria also wonders, like, is there a reason why Dad really left town? She's suspicious that it wasn't a conference and that it's something else. Something's going on with her internally. Quinn doesn't care and she thinks that Daria is weird, basically. Later on, Daria calls Tom, but he isn't available. She needs somebody to talk to, basically. But Daria stares at the box that they placed out on the curb and has a flashback to being a small child. And in this flashback, it's the younger version of her. She's in bed and her parents are arguing. There's not much context, but Jake, the dad, seems to accuse Daria of doing something on purpose, while Helen says that Daria is only a child and isn't doing on purpose. She's just having a hard time. So Daria, you know, the now Daria stops having that flashback, comes back to reality, and drags the box back into the backyard from the curb. So the next day, Helen gets mad at Quinn because the box is back in the backyard, even though Quinn is like, we took it out. Like, we definitely took it out. So Quinn has to take the box back out to the curb alone. Daria wakes up and returns the box to the backyard right before the dump truck comes in, throws it away. So at Lawndale, back at school, Kevin, the stupid jock, is doing the tours. He really isn't doing a great job. Mr. O'Neill approaches Daria and Jane about Daria doing a tour because he wants students to know that the school embraces all kinds of students, both popular and basically outcast. Jane is happy to do tours if it means not doing any classes, but Daria doesn't want to be hypocritical and state why the school is great when she actually doesn't think it's that great. Mr. O'Neill had like a really interesting point that students should be exposed to not just the model citizens like Jody or model athletes like Kevin, but that all types of students should be having an impact on the new incoming students. I felt like that actually was like a really interesting point that Mr. O'Neill makes. But Daria's major takeaway is that she is tired of being labeled a misfit and, you know, leaves the conversation. So back at home later that night, Daria confronts her mom about some of the memories that are resurfacing around this refrigerator box. She asks where her dad really is and if Helen and Jake had a fight about Daria when she was little. Her mom denies everything, and Daria vocalizes that she knows that they are lying to her. Now, Daria talks to Tom on the phone, and they have this really circular conversation about her joining him at the vacation house for the wedding. She's like, hey, can I come to visit? And he's like, it's actually worse and like more dull than I imagine. You'd probably be miserable. And then she accuses him of lying to her too. Then he actually is like, no, you know what, come up here, we'll have a good time. And then she ends up declining. It's crazy, very high school, which comes across as realistic. Now, she's dealing with something internally, and I'm at this point, I'm like, I'm really curious to know what it is. There's actually a little bit of suspense building up for me, which is actually quite good. Okay. Next, Daria brings Jane to the backyard where the box is. And so Daria gets into the box and has a flashback similar to the one before, but we get a little bit more of the argument because I guess her being in this box helps her to remember more of what happened. In the flashback, Jake and Helen are screaming about Daria's inability to fit in with other kids. And so Helen is saying in the flashback that she thinks that Daria is just having a hard time, while Jake feels like she is purposely not trying to fit in, that he has too much on his plate to come home and like deal with this as well. So then we hear two doors slam and like a car start up and drive away. So Quinn walks up right after this flashback happens. She's in the backyard with Daria and Jane, and she confirms that she actually has the same memory as Daria and that their parents were fighting about Daria, and she remembers their dad leaving for the night. So in another flashback, we see a young Daria with a child mental health specialist doing like the ink blot exercise where they show you an ink blot and you're supposed to identify what you see. Her parents are in the room watching them engage in this exercise, but Daria isn't really interacting with this test the way that she is supposed to. She is more like, well, it's an ink blot. Like, I don't see anything except for an ink blot. Can I draw my own picture? Like, she's just really not participating. And this is actually quite reminiscent of a test that Daria took in the first episode upon her arrival to Lawndale High, because they did some type of psychological test where they had to identify certain pictures, and Daria in the same way wasn't participating and actually had to take like a remedial self-esteem class because she essentially failed this test that you technically can't fail. And that class was taught by Mr. O'Neill. So he's been here throughout the entire series as well. So anyways, back to, you know, this little flashback, right? And so Daria says that, you know, young Daria says, I like to read. I don't like to play with or engage with other kids because they don't understand me. They make fun of me. I just like to read. So it comes across as she has always been antisocial and too intelligent for her peers. Now, on the car ride home, Daria's parents are trying to convince her to give making friends a chance so that they can stop missing work to have to take her to this counselor. Now, Daria is like, I'm not interested in hanging with the other kids, and she doesn't have any plans on being more social. A young Quinn, who is also in the car, talking about how social she is. I talk to kids and they talk back all the time. So again, we see this stark contrast between Daria and Quinn as well. Now, it's that same night in the flashback that there's an argument with Jake and Helen. And again, just a little bit more context than before, Jake is having a hard time at work and resents that he has to come home and deal with Daria's problems too. After the argument ends, he leaves the house and Daria climbs into a large refrigerator box that she has decorated in her room. So this is back when Daria was maybe 5 or 6 years old. Now, back to the present, Daria's dad comes home to find Daria inside the refrigerator box in the backyard. And when he says hi, she says nothing. Jake and Helen talk about Daria in the kitchen and trying to figure out what's going on with her and why she isn't saying anything and why she's hanging out in a box. And Quinn, you know, is in the kitchen with them. She comes up and she has to tell them what's the matter with Daria. She's like, back in the day, you all had a fight about Daria. It was actually pretty traumatizing, and Daria is dealing with her feelings from that. And it was quite traumatic, but where's the diet soda? It was actually pretty funny. Now, we know that Daria and Quinn don't always get along, or haven't historically gotten along. Part of it is because of how different they are from each other and how people treat them differently for that. And the fact that Quinn wouldn't even claim Daria as her sister because she didn't want to be associated with her or being associated with anything unpopular or viewed as nerdy or anything along those lines. But at this point in the story, it's changed a little bit. They're getting along better. And it's a beautiful thing to see Quinn actually support and validate this story for her sister, even talking to her parents kind of on her behalf. So I think it's actually really nice to see this evolution in their sisterhood. And as a person who has a lot of siblings, it's always great to have siblings that can validate your story and viewpoint, and that you can share those memories and thoughts with them, good and bad. Now, Jake and Helen, with this new information, try to get Daria to come out of the box to talk, and Daria refuses until her parents agree to be fully honest with her. Jake is a little hesitant about that, about the idea that they are only going to tell the truth, but he comes around to it and agrees that honesty is the best policy in the situation. They move to the living room where Daria essentially interviews her parents as she uncovers this traumatic experience. Her parents explain that Daria's teachers were very concerned that she didn't interact with the other kids. Jake was in a job that he hated with a sadistic boss, and Helen was going back to work full time and trying to figure that out after, you know, more so focusing on being a mom to younger kids. So they were experiencing a lot of challenges at once, and things were tense. Daria's social issues were kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. So when Daria says, you know, I'm the person who caused a family rift, Helen corrects her and says, you were the topic, but not the cause of the argument, which is a really interesting way to put it. Daria gets up without a word, leaves the house and drives away. And while she's driving, she makes a call on a cell phone and asks Tom's mom if she can come up to the vacation house. And when she gets, you know, confirmation, she says she's going to be there in 4 hours. It starts to rain. It's dark. It's nighttime. And some cars, you know, swerve up ahead, causing a multi-car accident that Daria is involved in. She kind of spins out on the shoulder a little bit more. The car doesn't seem to be super damaged. She says that she is fine. She doesn't appear to be injured at all. And this is what we heard at the beginning of the episode, the little car accident thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, this episode was obviously advertised as the last episode of Daria. So I think that that beginning scene where you heard the sounds of the crash and a man saying, Miss, are you okay? Was their way of teasing that maybe something bad or injurious happened to Daria when it was really actually quite minor. That's not nice, but I can understand why they were doing it. I guess it built up a lot of tension for the viewers who had loved this show for a number of years and it was coming to a close, right? So anyways, Daria in the next scene is soaking wet at a mom and pop diner, which I guess is nearby to where the crash happened. Jane comes to hang out with her a little bit and pick her up, and Daria hugs her when she arrives. Jane seems a little surprised by this, but I think everyone in this show is actually surprised by how impacted Daria is by this memory resurfacing for her. So Jane and Daria sit and they chat over coffee a little bit, and Daria says that she's realizing that she thought her parents were torturing her, but really she was torturing them. And Jane is like, oh, y'all probably torture each other like equally as much. It's not really either or. But Daria didn't realize that she was such a pain when she felt like she was only really being herself. She recounts multiple times where she had done something that resulted in her parents having to be called into the school. And she's like, you know, I decide to do X, Y, and Z, and they get called into the principal's office, and they're the ones that are suffering for my decisions, right? And so Daria talked it through, and Jane was like, you need to talk to your parents about this. But Daria said, yeah, I just wanted to chat with somebody that I trusted. And initially that person was going to be Tom, but it ended up being Jane because of the circumstances. And I wonder if this is their way of also helping to show their reconciliation after the whole boyfriend fiasco. I don't really know. Jane probably should have been her first choice in the first place, as opposed to a boyfriend who she hasn't known as long and who is 4 hours away. WTF? That's high school logic for you. But anyways, Jane drops Daria off at her house, and she and her parents have an interesting talk. At the end of it all, her parents accept that their multiple visits to the principal's office over the years is what they get in exchange for having such an intelligent child. They did it out of love and acceptance for who Daria is. They say that they don't see her as a misfit. They see that she is just making her own antisocial choices, and they're fine with it. It was actually quite interesting to see this interaction between them. Because Daria even says that she knows that she wasn't necessarily the easiest child, and that she's actually lucky to have the parents that she has. And so Daria goes upstairs to find that Quinn put the refrigerator box in her room just in case she needed it. This episode is actually low-key kind of deep, y'all. Later on, Tom and Daria are riding in the car together. There's not much going on here. We get to see their interactions a little bit more, and Tom's sense of humor seems to be a good fit for Daria too. But next up, we see Jane and Daria giving realistic tours to the soon-to-be freshmen who are incoming into the high school in the next school year. So that's it. That's the end of the episode. Yo, this is, again, the final episode of the series, and we get to see some growth from Daria and her whole family. It's kind of weird. Daria, of course, would be coming to the end of her high school career and getting ready to move on. So it's nice to see that Daria has transformed a lot of the relationships in her life. Not necessarily that she transformed them, but the relationships themselves have transformed, right? We get to see Daria reflect on her life and her behavior and how it's impacted her family. Even though Daria can sometimes feel quite self-involved sometimes, her parents reassure her that they accept her for who she is, which is, of course, the only thing that kids ever want from their parents. Her sister validates her childhood experiences and even kind of goes to bat for her in front of their parents. Considering their previous relationship where Quinn didn't even call the girl her sister, it's a major improvement, okay? Daria decides to make different choices and she even does the tours towards the end. I really like this episode, y'all. I'm a sentimental type of person personally, but this story made her feel more like a real person to me. And she was a moody teen like I was when I was a teenager. She learned some good lessons along the way. It was just nice to see this kind of full circle moment, right? Like, she mentions the inkblot test that she took in the first episode of the series, and we actually get to see a flashback of that inkblot test. I feel like this is like a, even though I don't know, I haven't seen all the episodes that, you know, happen in between, it feels like a really good, like, well-rounded way of rounding out this series to me. It's a really sweet episode, y'all. Like I said, this is the final episode of the show, but there was a movie that was created to truly end Daria, which is called Is It College Yet? And that came out in 2002. So this technically wasn't the end of Daria. Well, all right, y'all, that is it for all the episodes of Daria that we are going to be reviewing, okay? So at the end of every review, we ask the same two questions. Is it worth a rewatch and does it hold up today? Now, the fact that I have never really watched this show all the way through and that this is kind of my first time diving into this show is going to play a big role in how I answer these questions for Daria. So I really want you to keep that in mind as I share my thoughts, okay? This show is definitely worth a rewatch for me. This show is kind of a time capsule and really focuses on high school life. But I think that people who were fans of the show while it was on would actually love to revisit this show and reminisce on the characters and the storylines and the late 90s, early 2000s kind of references. The One Sweet Day reference caught me off guard. I actually really enjoyed that. Now, as a first-time watcher, I'd love to go through and watch or rewatch the series from beginning to end. I find that despite the fact that the characters are in high school, the adult nature of the comedy and themes can go beyond the high school ecosystem, right? And if you turn Lawndale High School into like Lawndale Technologies, a tech corporation, the same type of stuff might apply. There would be a few tweaks here and there, but I could see Daria working in office with her work friend, Jane, and all of the drama that would happen in a corporate office could be the same type of drama that we saw at Lawndale High School. So it is applicable, even though the place where most of the action happens is a high school. Now, also, I do think that this show actually holds up today. Daria's dry, sarcastic wit is still funny. The other characters are still crazy and hilarious in their own ways. And I think that even today, we love characters who see the silliness of the world for what it is and choose to engage or not engage as they please. And this kind of reminds me of how in The Office, people really love characters like Jim or Pam because they're in the office with Michael Scott and Dwight Schrute and with all of their shenanigans and ridiculousness, but they're smart enough to recognize how crazy everything is in their surroundings, but they get to deal with it in their own way. In some ways, they fall back, and then in some ways, they opt in, and they get to decide when and how they want to engage. And I think we really enjoy characters like them, and Daria is one of those. I also want to point out that characters like Mac and Jody, who are Black in this show, aren't depicted as stereotypical or in stereotypical ways. They don't really fall into tropes, per se, even though we might be able to argue that Jody is a version of, like, the superwoman Black woman a little bit. As the Queen of Negroes, as she called it. But it's not the stereotypical way that a lot of shows depict Black women. It actually, I feel, is like closer to reality than a lot of the tropes that happen. Anyways, the point is, it's not stereotypical. Their characters are realistic and we get to see them deal with things that, you know, we now call microaggressions. It's pretty true to life. Now, while I can't speak on the show in its entirety, what I have been able to see is mostly good. Daria is this very specific, hyper-intelligent character who's too smart for the people around her. And through the hyperbolic depictions of her peers, we get some social commentary and just some regular commentary on tons of important things. There's talks about capitalism, being antisocial, dealing with trauma, personal perception, romantic relationships, and more. This show could be a good way of starting important conversations with teens. I don't know if people do that. It's just what I think, okay? Now, while I'm really suspicious of the Daria stole Jane's boyfriend situation and storyline, overall, I enjoyed the show, and if I ever get a chance, I would really want to watch it all the way through. Now, let's talk about some of the ratings. IMDb rates the series an 8.1 out of 10. Again, I don't have the full history of this show, but that really doesn't surprise me. Now, I mentioned before that I feel like this show definitely holds up today, but I think that the older millennials who actually watched this show while it was on the air have really super fond memories of it, and that really can explain why the rating is so high. It's also a little revolutionary in the fact that it is focused on a female character who has this dry, sarcastic wit, and that is pretty unique as well. And it focuses not on the popular girl, but on, you know, the girl who's antisocial and too smart for the world around her. And I also want to point out, and I didn't bring this up before, that this also is showing the continued expansion of TV beyond the music world and how they were doing it in this really kind of cool way at the time. So yeah, that's all, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning into Submedia Reviews for the review of the 1997 to 2001 animated show, Daria. Did you rewatch the show recently? Does it still hold up for you? Share your thoughts with us on social media, on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, because we want to hear your thoughts. This episode concludes our Women's History Month series, but you know what? I am a woman who loves a great leading lady, and I will always review women's stories on this podcast, okay? We do this throughout the year. We're not here just for the Women's History Month, just for the Black History Month. We do it all throughout the year over here at Submedia Reviews. Join us next week when we review the 2004 film The Lady Killers featuring Tom Hanks. You don't want to miss it. Peace out. Thanks for listening to Submedia Reviews. I hope you enjoyed our trip down memory lane just as much as I did. If you have any suggestions for movies or TV shows you'd like me to review next, or if you just want to share your thoughts on today's episode, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest at Submedia Reviews and on submediareviews.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, please leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps me improve the show and spread the word to new listeners. So until next time, peace out, home slices.